Welcome to the Principles of Success, interviewing the experts. And today I am with Cheryl Teft with Calligraphics. And so Cheryl is a calligrapher and she kind of teaches people and does calligraphy for clientele. Cheryl, if you would like to kind of tell people, some people might not even know, what is calligraphy?
Thank you, Nathan. I appreciate it. Calligraphy is beautiful writing. That is the definition. It comes from the Greek. And what it is making writing, which is a very utilitarian skill, into something beautiful. That's the whole goal. And there's lots of different styles, lots of different possibilities, lots of different decorative options. But in the end, it's about making something necessary.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Beautiful. That's what it's all about.
Okay. And what kind of got you into calligraphy?
When I was in junior high, I was taking an art class. And it was one of those survey art classes where you do 2 weeks of ceramics and 2 weeks of leatherworking and 2 weeks of this, that, and the other thing. And what I always tell people is that my calligraphy journey, my journey to my business, started with a brown cow. What happened was our teacher started the unit on calligraphy, and he put a piece of paper up on the wall, and he took a calligraphy pen, and he wrote, "How now, brown cow." And calligraphy was not necessarily his specialty, but something about it really got my attention, and I just fell in love with it. And this was over 40 years ago, so we didn't have the internet, certainly not in the way that we have it now. So you couldn't go out and search for videos online. You couldn't look for teachers online. I didn't know there was such a thing as calligraphy societies, calligraphy guilds, anybody who could teach me calligraphy. And I lived in a small town. So I basically was stuck learning calligraphy on my own in my bedroom from books. And that was how I operated for the first, 17 years that I was doing calligraphy. And it was kind of crazy. So I was much more limited in what I could learn because I didn't have those opportunities, or at least I didn't know about them. I just didn't know what I didn't know. And once I found out there was such a thing as calligraphy guilds and calligraphy conferences, and this whole world opened up to me, it was amazing how much faster I was able to learn when I had some help and some instruction. So that was one of the things that made the biggest difference. I had actually already started my business at that point. I'd been in business for about 3 years when I found out there was such a thing as a calligraphy guild, and there was one near me, and I could go and find out more. So it was an amazing experience for me to find out that I was not operating alone. So I had access to all these resources all of a sudden, and it just sort of expanded my world exponentially. It was an amazing thing. I actually hold a degree in applied mathematics, if you can believe that. I started out in physics and math, and then I switched to just math. My father was a physicist, so I come by that side honestly. I didn't go into calligraphy initially because I thought the whole stereotype of the starving artist was basically all there was, and I didn't want to be starving. So I figured that was not the way to go. So I went into actuarial science because I figured at least I could earn a decent living that way and not be, living under a bridge trying to do my art. And it didn't work out. So I was in a position to, I had another source of income at that time. So I decided to start this calligraphy business on the side. And once I did, I have never gone back. I have never wanted to go back. That's all I've ever wanted to do ever since I started my calligraphy business over 30 years ago. And here I am today, still doing it, still loving it. And now I get the opportunity to teach other people about what I do and see them fall in love with it the same way I have. And I also get to be involved in people's weddings, in their special occasions, in when somebody retires or somebody is honored. I get to be involved in those celebrations and I get to enhance the occasion by what I do. I get to see the smiles on people's faces when they take an envelope out of the mailbox or they see something that has been created specifically for them with their name on it. Those are happy occasions, and that is the big reward for what I do.
Very nice. So, what about starting your own business and being in business yourself, do you really enjoy doing?
Well, I do enjoy the fact that I don't have anyone else telling me what to do because I'm kind of an independent cuss and I'm pretty much, at this point, I'm pretty much unemployable by anyone else because I would kick back so hard anyone else telling me what to do that we would probably be butting heads a lot. So I get to decide what clients I'm going to accept. If something is giving me a bad feeling, then I can decline it. And that's happened a few times. And I get to focus on work that I love doing. So that is the advantage of doing what I do. I get to do what I love. I get to do it for mostly for people that I enjoy working with. I get to choose what I want to do. And that is something that continues to outweigh the disadvantages that you have of being in business for yourself. Because it's not all a rose garden, as anybody who works for themselves will know. It's hard, demanding work, because if there's nobody else telling you what to do, guess what? You have to be the bad guy and tell yourself what to do. And I do have the advantage of working the hours that I want to work. For example, I am an extreme night owl. So you are actually more likely to find me working at 3 a.m. versus 3 p.m. because I'm just like that. I've always been like that. And it's nice working at night. It's quiet. Nobody is calling you up all the time and asking for things and interrupting what you're doing. Not that I consider my clients an interruption, but you know how it is when you're in the flow and you get interrupted. It's not always the greatest. So I get to do a lot of my flow kind of work, creative kind of work late at night, and know that nobody's going to be calling me or anything, and I get to do what I want to do. The main interruption I get is from my cats. So time to be fed. Yeah. Most of us calligraphers work from home, as many people do. Of course, many more people now work from home than did before the pandemic. And it's a different way of working. But honestly, for calligraphers, we've pretty much always worked at home, unless somebody works for Hallmark or American Greetings or something like that, where they actually go into an office and they're not just strictly freelancing. So in those cases, They may go into the office if they work for a particular company, but for those of us who are freelancers, who are independent contractors, that sort of thing, we mostly do work independently from home. So that's a nice thing. It's good and it's bad. Just like everything else, it has
Yeah.
its advantages and disadvantages. You never leave work, but at the same time, you don't have a commute. Your commute is 5 seconds walking down the hall with your cup of whatever your preferred beverage is in the morning, and it's a nice thing. It doesn't work for everybody, but for those of us with the right personality, it's a great opportunity to be your own boss, do what you love, do things that make you happy. You can take off in the middle of the day. Of course, the disadvantage is you got to make up that time later. So nobody pays you for your time off, unless you've arranged things so that you've got money coming in without you actually actively going out and doing something about it. So, you still gotta hustle regardless.
So you started to touch on it. What would you say you've been in business for 30 years. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges, the biggest hurdles that you've had to overcome to be in business yourself?
The biggest hurdle for me is that although I have my training in math, I do not have any training in accounting. And when I was in school, I did not get any training in business per se. And if I had known I was going to be a small business owner, I would have gotten that training when I was in college, but I didn't know. And now I'm having to make up for that. I have been paying a lot of money to business and marketing coaches in the last couple of years to help me make up for what I didn't get when I was in school. I was a good student and I didn't have a lot of difficulty with a lot of the material that was presented to me, but marketing and sales are things that do not come naturally to me. So I'm finding this a much harder row to hoe. And I finally realized a couple of years ago that doing these free programs, doing these $50 programs, $100 programs, things that were not very expensive, this was not going to cut it for me. I was going to have to make a bigger investment if I really wanted my marketing to go places so that I could start earning more money and not struggling all the time. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in the last few years is you have to make the investment to make up for the places where you don't have previous training or natural abilities. You've got to make those investments in certain things. You have to bite the bullet and do that for yourself, for your business, to just make your life and your business better. So whatever that means for you, whether it's accounting or sales or marketing or whatever, you've got to invest to get that help that you need. One of the statistics that I have heard is that if you do not invest at least somewhere around $87, 80, I'm sorry, $87,000 in the first 3 years of your business, you're likely not to make it in business. That is the latest statistic I have heard. And so, if you are not prepared to invest, you're going to struggle unless you happen to have a lot of resources of other types, of that sort of thing. But in general, you've got to be prepared to invest some money. People used to call me up all the time when I was first in business. They would call me up and say, "Oh, I really want to make some money doing calligraphy on the side while my kids are in school. And can you tell me all of the secrets to being a successful professional calligrapher?" And the first thing I would tell them is, "Well, you probably will spend at least 4 hours that you don't get directly paid for for every hour that you do get directly paid for. And if you thought it was just going to be a money-making machine, you're mistaken. So you have to be prepared to invest not only your time and your energy and your attention, you have to be prepared to put in some money or find a source of money that will allow you to invest, even if you don't happen to have it in your pocket. And there's just no way around that. It wasn't until I was willing to invest some serious money in my business that it really started taking off. Even after 28 years in the business, it really made a difference. And of course, there are good investments and bad investments, but I spent a lot of time in the years before I started hiring coaches. I spent a lot of time doing basically free tests or low cost tests of is am I aligned with this coach? Are they teaching the sort of things I think I need to know? Are they doing it in a way that makes sense to me? Do I think they can get me where I need to go? Is this going to be a good fit for me? What kind of return will I get on my investment? So you can do that sort of thing with the lower cost programs and such, but you gotta pick a horse and ride it and decide this is the direction I'm going to go. I'm picking this horse, I'm riding it, and I'm going to give it my all. And my primary business coach, it is a challenge, I've got to tell you. I'm in several different programs with her, and every single day, she is basically pushing me harder, farther, faster, more. And I'm doing things that I have never done before in my business. And it's hard, it's exhausting, it's challenging, but it gets results. And this is what I needed to do in order to get results in my business. One of the things that she says is the thing that makes the difference between people who succeed in business and people who do not succeed in business in pe is that people who succeed in business are people who are willing to do what other people will not do, at least for a season, so that they can get what other people will never get. Now, think about that for a minute. If you are willing to do the things that other people will not do, you can get the things that other people will not get. And this does not mean that you never take vacations, that you're working all the time, round the clock, every minute of every day. That's not what it means. It means that you push yourself harder because you have your eye on the prize and you know where you're going and you have a plan to get there and you're not just operating on hope and a prayer. Hope and a prayer will not give you a successful business. Strategy will. Strategy, training, correct assistance, basically. If you know you are deficient in certain skills, you've got to find a way to either acquire those skills or hire somebody who has them that will utilize them for your business. It is essential. I have learned so much more about business than I ever knew when I first got started. And I will tell you, if I had known how challenging it was going to be when I first started my business, I would not have had the courage to start it. But if I had known how rewarding it was going to be and how much of a difference it was going to make to invest in my business and in myself to get my business where I needed it to go, I would have done it 20 years earlier, 25 years earlier. But I didn't know. You know, once you know better, you do better. That's the thing. I didn't know what I didn't know. And so I don't beat myself up for what I didn't know. I did the best I could at the time. Once I knew better, I said, okay, you can't pretend that you don't know this stuff. You have to act on it. I think that is one of the things that makes the biggest difference is when you know better, you do better.
Yeah. And it applies to pretty much every aspect of if you want to have a healthy body, you do the things that other people won't do, so that way you can have the healthy body. It applies with relationships, it applies with happiness, it applies with business. So
Exactly.
shifting gears, you train people to do calligraphy. What would be the benefits of somebody learning how to do calligraphy?
There are so many benefits. The first thing that people usually tell me that they find to be a benefit from studying calligraphy is because calligraphy is so absorbing. When you sit down to study calligraphy, you generally don't have any room left in your brain for all the news and all the politics and all the craziness in the world and the person who cut you off in traffic this morning and all of the chaos of life, because our brains can only, according to what I've read, our brains can only consciously concentrate on a maximum of seven things at once. So when you are thinking about what you're having for lunch tomorrow and this thing and that thing and the other, you don't have a lot of room left for conscious thought when you are studying calligraphy, because when you're studying calligraphy, you're thinking about how am I holding the pen? Is the ink flow correct? How do I make this letter? Oh, did I turn the, do I need to turn it this way? Do I have the correct pen angle? How does this fit in here? Is it the correct width? What letter am I supposed to be writing? One of the problems that people have when they start studying calligraphy is they discover that they have a hard time making sure everything is spelled correctly. They tend to leave out letters, punctuation marks, and that sort of thing, because their brain is so full of concentrating on the forms and how they're holding the pen and all of that sort of thing. Sometimes they forget to focus on what letter they're actually supposed to be writing. And I have a solution for that. I give them a tip that helps them with that. But they basically, their brain is full. They don't have room to be thinking about what's was said on the news yesterday. That there's just no room in their brain. So people tell me it creates this oasis of peace for them when they sit down at their desk or their kitchen table to study calligraphy. That is the first benefit for them. The second benefit for them is it creates connections for them with their friends and their family once they start sharing what they're doing with other people in their lives. Because when you start doing this, one of the results is that you want to share it with people. Once you get to a point where you feel like it's okay looking, some people take a lot longer to get to that stage than others, but I encourage them to go ahead and share even from the beginning. And it starts to create connections between you because if you do an envelope for your friend or your child or your parent or your sister or whatever, and you send it to them, they get something in this special in the mail that is specifically for them. They recognize that it took time for you to create this, and you were thinking about them for the duration of while you were making it for them. You thought about what they would like. You thought about the colors they might like. You thought about the type of look or the decoration or whatever it was to do something to make them happy. And that creates connections. There's a quote from John Donne that a lot of calligraphers really like. It says, "Letters mingle souls. Letters mingle souls." And it really is true. It creates bridges between people. When you have calligraphy for wedding invitations, people feel special because somebody spent the time to do their name in a special way. That matters to people. When they pull something out of their mailbox and they see that there's calligraphy with their name on it on the envelope, that's a special moment. And they appreciate that someone spent the time to do that. And if the person who did the calligraphy wasn't necessarily the person who's sending it, at least they cared enough to spend the time and the money to make sure that they got that thing that was done, especially for them, with time and with care and with beauty. It's a connection maker.
Very nice. So, thank you, Cheryl. We're pretty much out of time. If somebody would like to work with you, what would be the best way for them to find you?
The best way for them to find me, we're going to drop some links in, I think. Isn't that correct, Nathan?
Yep, we'll have some links down in the description.
Okay. There are several ways that you can work with me. I have all of my, or most of my classes on Eventbrite. The link will be in there. You can also reach out to me at calligraphics@yahoo.com. That's my most usual email address. Working to get a more professional looking email address, but that's the one that is going to continue to be active. You can reach me there, and I'll have a calendar link. You can talk with me that way, and we will have some social media links. You can look me up on Facebook, Instagram, all that sort of thing, and you will be able to find me there through the links that we have.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you so much, Nathan.
And there it is.